the accusations. Prior to this morning's text, even Jesus uses harsh words against the Jewish leaders. It's really a verbal exchange that you'd expect to hear in a bar room right before someone flips over a table or before someone pulls a knife or a gun. But they didn't have knives and guns. The leaders didn't have knives and guns. And at the end of our text, they did pick up stones because they wished to kill Jesus. Jesus is not the kind of preacher that people want to hear. He pulls no punches. He tells it like it is, speaking the truth without worrying about hurting anyone's feelings. The argument begins as Jesus is teaching in the temple courts, out in the open to believers and unbelievers alike. And the unbelieving Jewish leaders didn't like what they were hearing. In those verses preceding our text, the leaders are questioning Jesus about who gave him the authority to speak such things, while they were defending their position as children or as descendants of Abraham. And according to the flesh, the leaders could trace their ancestry back to Abraham. But Jesus, on the other hand, he's not concerned about ancestry. He's telling them that he has been sent by God, that he is God's very own son. But the leaders know Jesus' family, so they imply to him that he was born of sexual immorality. Well, Jesus responds that they cannot understand his truth because they are children of the devil. Their father is Satan, the father of lies. They refuse to hear the truth, and they refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, the Jewish leaders, they were truly descendants of Abraham according to the flesh. But according to the Spirit, they lacked the faith that Abraham had in that promise given to him that one of his descendants would come forth and rule all nations. The promise of the day that Abraham himself would rejoice in seeing. But the leaders refused to hear this truth given by Jesus, the truth given to Jesus by the Father. And the fact that they don't believe is because they are not truly children of God. God alone knows the hearts of men. You can't fool him. God will not be mocked. And if you reject his preaching and his word, you too are not truly children of God. This is why we often pray for the grace to receive the word of God, praying that God would grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of his holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. In our text this morning, the leaders found that their human reason was no match for the truth of the word of God. Their consciences were convicted by Jesus' truth, and rather than admit their guilt, they did what you and I do when we cannot argue our way out of the truth. We resort to name-calling. They call Jesus a Samaritan. He's one of those people that we think are pagans. They considered the Samaritans as immoral. And even worse, they accused Jesus, who cannot be separated from the Holy Spirit, they accused him of having an unclean spirit, a demon. But the name-calling doesn't deter Jesus, because, in fact, the argument has nothing about names, name-calling, or whose blood ancestor you are. You see, in our text, we hear Jesus say that he's not coming about all this other stuff. He is coming to honor the Father, his Father in heaven, who had sent him into his creation to save mankind. Jesus was honoring his Father in all his miracles and all his words, speaking in the stead of God the Father, and in return, the Jewish leaders were dishonoring Jesus. And because of the mystical union of the Holy Trinity, to dishonor Jesus is to dishonor God, to dishonor the Holy Spirit, thus bringing eternal judgment upon themselves. Jesus made it clear to the Jewish leaders that he was one with the Father. He said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is the great I am. I am. It is the name of God given to Moses out of the burning bush. The name is Yahweh. Jesus is Yahweh. He didn't come in the flesh of man to glorify himself because, let's face it, does this look like glory to anyone being nailed on a cross until you die? Well, no, it does not. But it was the will of the Father in heaven who sought Jesus' glory, who himself is glorified through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. God is glorified, and mankind is saved by a beaten and bloody dying Savior on the cross. So Jesus turns the tables. He doesn't respond with name-calling as such of more of the same. Instead, he responds with grace. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Jesus is the Word. He is the Word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus, through his Word. It's God's own Son, and whoever keeps the words, Jesus' words, will never see death. Now, Jesus isn't referring to physical death. He's referring to eternal death and damnation. He's saying that anyone, even these stubborn, cold-hearted Jewish leaders in front of him, if they would just believe and keep Jesus' word, they would be forgiven of their sins and they too would be raised to eternal life. So our question this morning is, how do you and I keep Jesus' word? In the context of our gospel lesson, to keep the word is to believe Jesus' good news. Believe his good news message. It's to believe with your God-given faith that Jesus, who is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he is the Word become flesh, and he came to shed his blood and gave his life for your forgiveness of sins, just as you confessed in the Athanasian Creed. And this, brothers and sisters in Christ, is where many times we fall short. You see, you and I have no problem with holding a book and confessing our Christian faith, confessing the creed. We have no problem confessing with the mouth, but our hearts are set on things of the world. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah to the scribes and Pharisees at one point, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." It's one thing to hear preaching and God's word, yet it's quite another to allow God's creative word to create faith within you, to sustain your faith and sanctify you in the true faith. You see, on the surface, you and I are no different than the Jewish leaders. We've heard Jesus' word. The difference is they did not believe. They refused to believe. They did not allow the Holy Spirit to crack their stone-cold hearts. And many a person who goes by the name of the Christian and attends worship regularly, unfortunately, they do honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from Him. In his explanation of the third commandment in the Large Catechism, Martin Luther writes this: "Know therefore that you must be concerned not only about hearing, but also about learning and retaining God's word in memory. Do not think that this is optional for you or of no great importance. Think that it is God's commandment who will require an account from you about how you have heard, learned, and honored his word." Luther continues, "Let me tell you this, even though you know God's word perfectly and are already a master in all things, you are daily in the devil's kingdom. He ceases neither day nor night to sneak up on you and to kindle your heart, to kindle in your heart unbelief and wicked thoughts against these three commandments and all the commandments. Therefore, you must always have God's word in your heart, upon your lips, and in your ears. But where the heart is idle and the word does not make a sound, the devil breaks in and has done the damage before we are aware. On the other hand, the word is so effective that whenever it is seriously contemplated, heard, and used, it is bound to never be without fruit. It always awakens new understanding, pleasure, and devoutness, and produces a pure heart and pure thoughts. For these words are not lazy or dead, but are creative, living words." I know that was a big section to read from Luther, but I think it's important we know how vital it is to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest God's word. Because as Scripture tells us, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So how do you keep God's word? We're off to a good start. You're here in worship where the word of God is preached in its purity and his sacraments are instituted or are administered according to Christ's institution. But that isn't enough. God calls us to immerse ourselves in the word so that by the power of his Holy Spirit, you bear fruit. You bear his fruits of repentance. Repentance of not loving the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Repentance of not holding God's word as sacred and not gladly hearing and learning it. And bearing fruits of faith. Faith of loving your neighbor as yourself. Faith of serving your neighbor who is in need, just as Christ entered his creation to serve you. You see, it is true, the devil is in this world, and he wants to steal your faith. Where the heart is idle, where the heart is not abiding in the word, not abiding in Jesus, the devil comes in, and he does his worst. And to be sure, the devil and the world are going to pick up stones and throw them at you because you have a target. You are baptized. You are marked with the sign of the cross. You are in Satan's crosshairs, and the world will throw stones at you just as the leaders wish to throw stones at Jesus. But what is the worst that the world can do? Again, we listen to the words of Martin Luther. They take your house, goods, honor, child, and spouse. Though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom is yours forever. You have Jesus' promise. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." keep the word. And to keep the word is to believe in the gospel of Jesus and trust in him for forgiveness, life, and salvation. It's to believe with all your heart, with your God-given faith, that Jesus, who is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, will come again. And you will never see death, but he will raise you into everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.